It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, Connie Stample is back with us for lesson number 49. And Connie, what's the theme today?
Well, really, it's going to be Jacob being reunited with Esau and God's incredible grace.
All right.
We can start by reading the verse, I think.
All right. Why don't I read and then Connie will teach? This is actually a Genesis 33, starting in chapter 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, and they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it.
What a beautiful picture of brothers reuniting, because the last time Jacob and Esau were together, we find that Jacob was fleeing for his life, and Esau planned to kill him. And here, 20-some years later, they are reunited. I'm going to go through some specifics of this passage and just point out a few things for us. We find, again, Esau is coming with 400 men, which must have terrified Jacob. And so we find that Jacob does something, well, he plans, but what he does is he divides his children up into different groups. And just looking at it, Amy, do you have any sense of why he would put them in the order he did? First, the concubines' children, and then Leah's children, and finally Rachel and Joseph, who is the only child named, actually, in this account.
Yes, I found that very interesting. And I'm wondering if there was a risk taken by doing this, and perhaps that's why he put the concubines and their children first. I'm not sure. It's interesting.
It is, and it seems that he was putting Rachel and Joseph in the safest place at
yes.
the rear. And so if the company was attacked, they could perhaps flee.
That's what I thought. As well.
It seems to be that way. He's very intentional about what he does. But notice he goes first.
Yes.
And so he is going before everyone, and he's also acting very much like a servant, because it says he bows on his way to meet Esau. He bows to the ground 7 times. And so he's actually acting as a servant would before a king.
Yes.
So this proud Jacob who had deceived his brother is now acting in a different way than he had in the past, at least when the brothers were together. And then we find in verse 4, it's beautiful the way Esau responds to Jacob, or how he meets Jacob,
yeah.
because it says he ran to meet him, he embraced him, he fell on his neck and kissed him, and they both wept.
Yeah.
And that is a very warm greeting.
It is. It's almost as if those years just melted away.
It is. And you get the sense that Esau was very, very thankful and grateful to meet Jacob. And actually, we need to go to the New Testament and just read one verse of what Jesus said. And this refers to the story of the prodigal son. And it has to do with how the father of the prodigal welcomed home his son.
Okay, and this is in Luke chapter 15. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him.
All right, so that's something maybe the ladies could talk about if they're having a discussion group about this passage, but truly this is a very warm greeting. And then we find Esau asking questions about all the family that Jacob has, and Jacob answers, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." And so Jacob is acknowledging that God has given him everything he has, which is true, And then we find the families meeting, the families coming forward to meet Esau. And then we find that Jacob is pressing Esau to take the gift he'd sent, those 550 or so animals that had come previously in front of Jacob. And Esau says, no, I have enough. Please keep it for yourself. But Jacob presses him, and he says two things. One, he says, if I found favor in your sight, please accept my present from my hand, for I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. And so we get the sense that really these words have to do with seeing someone's face, looking on their face means they're looking on you with favor, and you're in right relationship with them. That's what had happened in this last chapter with Jacob after he wrestled with God. He strove with God, but then he came to understand God in his grace was blessing Jacob, not based on what he could do or what he had done, but truly on who God was. And so here, Jacob is receiving Esau's blessing, and it's really mediated through God because God's the one who, I think, changed Esau's heart to allow him to accept Jacob, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so then we find Jacob pressing Esau, and he says, please accept my present. And then he uses a different word. He says, please accept my blessing. Mm. And remember, he had stolen the birthright, and then he stole the blessing to top it all off. And so now he's sharing what God has blessed him with his brother. And thankfully, Esau accepts it. And so what a beautiful picture of reconciliation of two brothers who previously really were had mostly, I think, fought their entire lives.
Yes.
We just need to then say that God has arranged this, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'll just refer our ladies to number 6:24-26, which was the blessing Aaron was to speak over the people of Israel. And so if you'll read those words, Amy.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes, and so once again, God looking with favor on his people, a beautiful blessing. Well, we're going to read a little bit more in the chapter. We're going to find out just what happened after that reconciliation and where Jacob goes to live.
All right, picking it up in verse 12 of chapter 33. Then Esau said, let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are frail and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me and at the pace of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir. So Esau said, let me leave you with some of the people who are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Paddan Aram. And he camped before the city. And from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of money the piece of land on which he pitched his tent. There he erected an altar and called it El Elohei Israel.
All right, so here is what happened after that reconciliation. Esau desires Jacob to come with him to his homeland, which is on the eastern and southern part of the Dead Sea. And Jacob gives two reasons. He says, one, we're going to have to move slowly because of the children and the animals. And then Esau wants to leave men with him, bodyguards, and Jacob says no. And he seems to imply that he's going to come and join Esau. But then we find Jacob in verse 17, the scripture tells us, but Jacob journeyed to Succoth. And then we don't know exactly why he did that, but Jacob's a deceiver, and somehow he didn't speak the total answer to Esau right there. So Jacob goes to Succoth, which is about 20 miles further west of where he is. And it says he built himself a house and made booths or sheds for his livestock. And that's why it was called Succoth, which means booth. So he settles there for a while. And then we find later on he comes to the city of Shechem, which is another 20 or 30 miles to the west, and he settles there because he actually buys land. This is the second time a patriarch buys land here, and we also find that he pitches his tent and he builds an altar. And interestingly, this altar is called El Elohi Israel, meaning the Lord shall be my God, the Lord, which is a beautiful thing. We find that he's probably here for about 10 years, and it's also interesting that Shechem is the first place that Abram built an altar. And we find Jacob settling here in the land, and it's a good thing. And we find God has been faithful to his promises. So all in all, that wraps up today's lesson in Genesis. And you can find the notes on naomistable.com.